Perhaps we'll start with a melody. Which one? Ela Mistatel. All of us together. Yes, we can raise the volume. This song is about the Creator that hides Himself from us. This is how it's called, the hiding, the Creator hides. Why does He hide? Why does He hide from us? What we know from all of this hidden reality, the force that is hiding from us, what we know from the people who attained Him, is what they tell us, and they tell us a bit of what we can understand from this, from their explanation, is a bit about what is Him and how can we attain Him, and what is the opportunity to do it. So they said that we had the opportunity to do that for the first time 3,500 years ago in Babylon, when the whole of humanity was together and there was a general crisis that erupted, breakage, but only a small part of humanity understood what was happening and succeeded in achieving the revelation of godliness for a certain period of time. And now, they wrote to us in the book of Zohar and in all the sources of Kabbalah, they wrote to us that now we are once again facing this great status, this state where we can, all of us together, not just a small portion, but the whole of humanity is now standing before the revelation of the Creator. There are very beautiful passages from the Zohar and other Kabbalistic writings, especially from Baal Sulam, about this. And Baal Sulam was really the last Kabbalist that is so close to us and to our souls in our generation. And they tell us that throughout thousands of years of development of our egoism, today we're reaching a point where we begin to feel that we can no longer fulfill ourselves and advance and really feel alive inside of our ego. And that's because it peaked to its very top maximal peak in this world. We've developed throughout history to a certain height throughout the history of the whole of humanity, our ego has developed. The ego, Rav writes, so it developed from one generation to the next, started from Adam Alishon, that was about 5,772 years ago, and today we reached the peak, the top. Our ego can no longer develop. That's why humanity begins to feel a crisis in everything we're doing, and there's like no more where to go. We can't see what else there is to do. That's why we're seeing so much depression and drug abuse, and people generally don't understand what is there to do next. And this is exactly the point that Kabbalah has awaited. As the Book of Zohar says from 2,000 years ago and the other writings of Kabbalah, so it says that now, when everyone understands or begins to understand that we are in some sort of a dead end, because the ego doesn't grow anymore, that's it. If the ego continued to grow, we would keep chasing it, because that's our nature. We're always trying to discover something bigger in it. This is how we've developed throughout all the generations and life cycles. That's all our history. We each time chased something higher, something better, try to fix this problem or that problem, to have a better house and a better family and a better profession and a better and more knowledge, and all we did through life. That's how it is. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains that every generation in humanity is like one line of the same, as if soldiers who march together from generation to generation, from life cycle to another. So in all the previous generations, we weren't exhausted from this race in the ego, because our desires still pushed us towards it. And it doesn't matter that those things were nonsense, if we still had the motivation to try to fulfill those things. But now, when this desire reached its final point, we're feeling that something is blocked. People don't even want to have children, for instance, because no one thinks that the next generation will be better than today's. And this is exactly where the wisdom of Kabbalah arrives and says, you are able to connect for good, connect to good. But what is good is not on the level of this world. This world can't be good. And that's it. Because if you simply try to draw something into your ego directly, no one can ever be fulfilled, because once you start fulfilling yourself, the pleasure disappears. I can take this glass of water, take the first sip, the second sip, and I'll enjoy it for the first and second sips, but then I'll stop enjoying it. I'll just continue to fulfill myself until I'll stop doing that even. Why? Because the pleasure and the fulfillment and the desire are opposite, and they neutralize each other. The pleasure neutralizes the desire. So when you don't lack something, you can't enjoy it. So you have to keep chasing something else and something else. And that's our whole life. That's my life. I'm always chasing for something to want. And that's why all our media works like that, and the advertisements always telling me what to want, and that's how I waste my entire life. But if I already have the experience from this, and I know that this doesn't help me, so what do? How do I really connect to something good? This is exactly when the Kabbalists come and tell those who feel that they have to search for something above this life. Because on the level of this world, this life, you kind of feel internally that this world has exhausted itself for me. You feel like you need to be above it. You need to know where it's all coming from. What is the source of life and the purpose of it? What happens before and after life? I have to be above those boundaries and limits that the world positions before me. I need to know why things happen, how it all works, the cause for everything, the reason. I need to be around this world and see how things are connected, how it all works. And without that, I keep feeling bad. This is how our soul is structured, and this is how it becomes starts becoming apparent. And the method for opening the soul is this. What we felt so far was through our body, through the five openings, the five senses, the sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. We filled ourselves with what we can in tastes, all sorts of tastes that our body enjoys, or pains that our body doesn't enjoy. And that all has to do with the body's existence. Kabbalists say, now, after you've been in this world, all of this is this world, so you've been here, you fulfilled yourself, you felt some despair from it, you feel it kind of dried up and exhausted itself. Good. Now you can continue to the next level. What's that? With a new level of egoism, which will grow, it will increase, but in dimensions that are beyond your body. And that's called the development of the soul. It's another, an additional, more internal part that will open before you, through which you will attain a higher level of reality. But to do that, you need guidance. It's a unique guidance that is called the method of Kabbalah, which is how to lekabel, to receive, from the word Kabbalah, what's in the upper world. Why do you need this method? Because you attain it through a special development, transformation, that to attain something that you don't attain now. And it doesn't eliminate everything you have now. All that you have here, all that you know here, stays there, but you're going above that. Well, what's above that? Here are all the driving forces that instruct and guide our world too. So you also get to know the roots to what is happening to you here. Because here above are the roots and here below are the branches. So you attain the reason for everything that's happening here below, because you rise to the roots and you attain them. Besides that, when you attain the roots, it's just like when you live in this world. Here in this world, you have senses that fit this reality. The body and its five senses, sight, smell, hearing, taste and touch, through which you perceive what is happening to you here in this world. So now, what you have to do is build or stabilize, more accurately, your spiritual body. And you have to do that on your own. What does that mean, on my own? Because in our world, we know that I was born, I was educated, my mother and father taught me things, then in school, until I became a grown adult, and then I were able to continue on my own. What's happening here in the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, we actually need to go through the same. We also have our spiritual mother and father, spiritual environment, which develops us, but we need to do this with our desire first. That's the problem. Because to precede our desire, by which I need to develop. I now have to develop with my own desire. Right? So where will I take that desire from? Kabbalists explain that you are given a very small desire called a point in the heart. And by that desire, you are able to advance by an environment. That's what we call a group. And by the upper force, that's what you can call Abba Ve'ima, mother and father. They're there, you'll find them. Or you can call it creator. Only he exists in two directions, chasadim and chokhmah, as if an aiding force and a pushing force that makes it difficult for you. It's just like when we play with a kid. So we give him toys, sometimes we break them apart so he'll put them together. You need these two forces. These two assisting forces guide us and show us what to do. And by them we advance. So if we structure all these things, but we have to do that. It's not like in our world where we instinctively, naturally go into this development and everything is structured. In the spiritual development, we have to do this on our own. So if we start putting these things together, and this is what the Kabbalists explained to us, how to do that, so we begin to advance. And the pace of the progress depends on us. There is no time in spirituality. It's only your effort that counts, that makes it faster. So we also begin to discover those driving forces of nature, which we call mother and father, or the positive and negative force that act in nature, and that's how you come to spiritual development. From the moment that we start, even the first degree, from the moment we enter the first degree in spirituality, right from there you already begin to feel that eternity and wholeness, because you're independent of the body. You perceive everything through bestowal, as if you're external outside force. You begin to connect with all the others, to bond with everyone else, and that becomes your vessel. In the corporeal world, I absorbed everything into my kli, into my vessel. All I could take in. And like with the glass example, as we've seen, it's always neutralizes the pleasure. I stop feeling pleasure, I have to empty it. Spiritual pleasure happens as a result of passing the pleasure I receive to the other, and that other to another, and so on and so forth. And that's how all of us, each and every one, pass that to others, and that creates an eternal flow of endless, continuous pleasures. That is called a sensation of eternal life. That's all it is, in comparison to our world. When our vessel, our soul, is simply something that allows me to connect to the others in a way that the connection between us is not one of absorbing from them and not giving anything to the others. On the contrary, it's like the cells in our body. Everyone is making sure that all the light of En Sof, of infinity, goes through himself, and he takes only what is needed for his own sustenance, and then he continues passing that light forward. And when you exist that way, you find yourself in an unlimited world, the world of En Sof, and that light, the Creator, dwells within us. And that's what the wisdom of Kabbalah means. That's why it's called Kabbalah, means reception. How to receive that eternal flow of life. And right here and now. This feeling comes to a person on the condition that in addition to the little point that he received already, that point in the heart, he must attach more and more to more and more desires. It's just not enough. Although each of us has already found disappointment in this world, we don't really need anything more from this world. We just want to have, you know, continue our life safely and calmly here, but that's not enough. Because besides the despair from this world, you still need a pushing force. A force that pulls you, that attracts you forward. How do you get that? That's why there is what's called a group. Meaning that I need to absorb additional desires, great desires. That's what we call confidence and guarantee, arvut. Assistance from the friends who don't have more than I have, each of them. However, if I collect all those little desires that they have, this will be enough. So in order to collect those desires, I have to nullify myself, my ego. In order to attach their spiritual desires to me, I have to connect with them. So I'm actually doing the same kind of action that we explained here with the cells example, where each connects to the others and receives and gives to the other, from and to the others. And that's how we create what's called a spiritual body. That's what we call a soul. None of us has a soul, and we will never have one individually. An individual soul means my connection with all the others. If I'm connected to all the others, I have my soul. If someone else is connected to the others, he has his soul. However, that soul does not reside inside of me. It resides outside of me, in the others' vessels. Because all I have is a point. It's just that little point called the point in the heart. And it's always just that root of my soul that I have on my own. That's why Kabbalists say after humanity has fallen into despair and we all went through many life cycles and reached this state of a global world with a global crisis, that something similar to it happened in ancient Babylon. So we've come to the point where our generation is the first generation to be called the last generation, the generation which realizes the method of Kabbalah, the generation which is making that breakthrough from our world to the spiritual world. We are making the breakthrough. And we are the hundreds of thousands and up to a few millions of people who are with us all over the world. And if we unite as much as we can in this great mass of people, we will certainly attain the sufficient force required to break through this barrier called Mahsom barrier and really connect for good.
Well, Islam writes about that. If it's possible, we can read a nice allegory at the beginning of the writings of the last generation. He writes this: there is an allegory about friends who were lost in the desert, hungry and thirsty. One of them had found a settlement filled abundantly with every delight. He remembered his poor brothers, but he had already drawn far off from them and did not know their whereabouts. What did he do? He began to shout out loud and to blow the horn. Perhaps his poor hungry friends would hear his voice, approach, and come to that abundant settlement filled with every delight. So is the matter before us. We have been lost in the terrible desert along with all humankind, and now we have found a great abundant treasure, namely the books of Kabbalah, in the treasure. Now, distinguished readers, this book lies here before you in a closet. It states explicitly all the wisdom of statesmanship and the conducts of private and public life that will exist at the end of days, meaning the books of Kabbalah. Open these books, and you will find all the good conducts that will appear, and the end of days, at the end of days, and you will find within them the good lesson by which to arrange matters today as well.
This means that although we call it the wisdom of Kabbalah, which as if talks about something highly elevated and secret and perhaps even dangerous, scary, although these ideas are beginning to disappear in recent years, we need to understand that all of this only depends on the connection between us. The more people connect, they begin to attain right here and now through the connection between us that becomes deeper and deeper and deeper. They begin to attain that flow that is always between us. The truth is, we exist in this state. The Creator did not create anything besides the corrected state. What we feel now is like a vagueness over our senses, like being unconscious, like you're in a mist. You don't exactly detect the state you are in properly. So we just have to remove that mist, that vagueness, and become conscious, and then we will feel that we are in a world that is filled with light, that we live in eternity. We will see all the worlds and feel ourselves above not only all that is happening here, but we will take on a new consciousness, a new understanding and feeling, and it's all right before us, but it depends on how much we try to delve deeper into sensing the connection between us.
If possible, I'd like to read something of Rabash of these things that you said. Sorry, of Bala Sulam. In the letter number 13, Bala Sulam writes, "You should know that there are many sparks of holiness in each of the friends. When you gather all the sparks of holiness into one place, in an assembly of brothers, with love and friendship, you will certainly have a significant level of sanctity for the time being, from the light of life."
This is why we are here, trying to take all those points, those red points here, that each and every one has, and collect them and put them together, connect them. If someone is here, he certainly has that point. And the upper force brought him here, because in our world, we learn that we have no free choice. Science shows this to us today as well. Every day we discover new genes that are in charge of our behavior, or other types of information in a person that plan our behavior and our choices, as if all our future is written in stone and there's nothing to change. So as we advance in life, we also see that when, in retrospect, it doesn't look like we really did all we did. It's like somehow we were guided or directed and rolled forward in life through all those things. Bala Sulam explains this extensively in the article, The Freedom, about free choice, where he explains that there's only one action in our world which is the only action that we can do, and that's the connection between these points, where there is a desire to break through the barrier to the upper world, In our world, we have no option of doing something ourselves. Everything is governed, managed. Whatever you do, it's already part of what has to happen, and it's written. Kabbalists say that openly. In the spiritual world, too, when we advance there, there's also hardly any free choice. They explain this in a very accurate way and in an open way as well. It's only in the transition between the two worlds where we especially realize our free choice. And that's if we connect to an environment that can increase each and every one's point in the heart. So when I came to Rabash and I asked him to clarify for me, what will I talk to the new people that I brought? I brought 40 new students to study, and I had to welcome them and tell them something at the first meeting, the gathering of friends. So then he wrote this article called that says "We've Gathered Here." So very simple words, actually. You have it there? Yes. We have gathered here to provide the foundation to build a society for all those who are interested in following the method and way of Bala Sulam, which is the path of how to rise to the degree of Adam and not to remain as a beast. This means that one who exists in our world is considered a beast because he is completely programmed, managed from above. One who reaches a higher degree above the barrier, that's called Adam. He is called Adam, a man. That's from the word dome, meaning similar to the creator, to the upper force. And the more one rises throughout these 125 degrees of ascension, the more he is called Adam. The more he takes on the latitude and freedom and so on. And that's those spiritual degrees. So how does one attain that? By, as it said, we've gathered here. When each one takes that little point of yearning for spirituality and receives a greater force from all the others.
On this matter, I'd like to read another quote according to this depiction you put. In number 5, in excerpt number 5 in the study material, Rabash in the agenda of the assembly writes, "There is one point we should work on, appreciation of spirituality." And in the second article of Purpose of Society by Rabash, in item 6, Rabash writes, "To be integrated in one another, each person should annul himself before the others. This is done by each seeing the friend's merits and not their faults. But one who thinks that he is a little higher than the friends can no longer unite with them."
We, throughout these 3 days, should try. This isn't something we should actually see on the outside. Like we all have to hug each other, kiss each other, and pat each other on the back. It has to be a more internal work. I want to become included, integrated with the huge desire that exists here. It's a huge desire. All the people who came here, you'll see in an hour or two, you'll start feeling this kind of flow. This something that is really tangible, as if the air becomes more thick by feeling that and soaking in this atmosphere. So try to each draw the yearning, the desire for spirituality, for bestowal from this. So if each and every one will be able to be a little more immersed in the collective force and then connect with all the others, then everyone will become like all the others. And this kind of vessel, that great intensity, will start disclosing the Creator. Adam means dome, similar to the Creator, the one who becomes similar and sees how the Creator fulfills him. So each will start to discover the Creator inside. And that is truly why we gathered here, and that's what we want to achieve. This is called the revelation of the Creator to the creature. And that's the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah, right? What does it say?
We have something, in another moment we'll bring that. But in Rabash's article on the gathering of the assembly, he says,
the greatness of the king is in the multitude of people. The power of the many, of the majority, works as many as they are, the more it works. Meaning they create an atmosphere of importance and greatness of the Creator, and then it's like a fortune that each and every one has benefited because he is among the others who work for the Creator. And then every little action one does fulfills him with joy and pleasure because he's now capable of serving the King. We need to understand that without the vessels of bestowal that we have to acquire through the society in this way, we cannot receive spirituality. And it's because spirituality is pleasures that are billion times greater than corporeal pleasures. I think this is something that we can find in letter 8. And the little pleasure that we, the littlest pleasure in spirituality, the first degree of the 125 degrees, is already a billion times greater than all the pleasure in this world. It's like what the physicists say, that a little spark of light that burst into our world was the Big Bang that generated this entire development of the universe. And this is what we need to understand, that it's just a little spark of the upper light that we're talking about. And here we're going to discover the upper light to the extent of Naran Chai, all its degrees. So we need these external vessels. You can't take it inside, you'll blow up. Meaning you have to create, each has to create those external vessels. And it happens only through connection between us, integration. That's how you're able to achieve that. And without that, you're immersed in the upper light right now, but you just have nowhere to perceive it, nowhere to grasp it, because you don't have more than this little spark you have. In item 8, Baal HaSulam says about what you, in letter 8, about what you mentioned with regards to the power of the light, Baal HaSulam says, during the attainment, the light sits and joins all the opposites, where it seems like even the suffering one went through have the value of abundance and pleasure. And all of one's organs and tendons shall testify that each and every person in the world would cut their hands and legs 7 times a day to attain just one little moment of that pleasure that is felt. So we have to understand that what is becoming revealed is something huge, and you have to attain vessels for it. That's why we have very great inner work to do, which is entirely easy. It's not like how the verses put it. It's entirely easy if you do it through love. Love is the solution, connection. If I connect with others, and I feel that I am in one vessel together with them, the light simply becomes revealed. That's why it is written, love thy friend as thyself, is the vessel for the light, the rule for the Torah.
Yes,
maybe we'll sing. We have to wake ourselves up a little. I see that I have to be Yeah.
Let's sit down, and now we're going to the second part of our lesson, questions and answers. I'm inviting everyone who has a question to come here, close to the stage. There are stands with microphones. If we can just show them, so the ushers will now show their hands. Dudi, show your hand. There are the ushers. That's the place for questions. You're invited to go there. And now we're going to the second part of our lesson, questions and answers. Do we have the first question person? Everyone sit down. We'll return to being quiet.
I still want to ask that along with the happiness and joy of connecting with others, everyone should kind of speak to himself inside. We want to make this a more internal convention where we understand what we came here for. We came here to attain some inner discovery with greater sensitivity, greater subtlety. What you want is to feel all the others as your vessel. Love equals connection, where one's desire is like the other's desire. In that way, I can feel what is in all the others, that desire for spirituality. And in that kind of kli, that vessel, I can find the light that dwells there, that is present there. But I can't do it with only myself. So along with the happiness and joy that breaks out, we have to also as if do an opposite reaction, action, to kind of be more inside ourselves in with this inner sensitivity. That's one thing I wanted to say. And the second thing is that we always feel at the beginning of a convention that it's kind of hard or weird because everyone is coming from their own kind of situation, and it's not time that we need, it's the attempt, the effort to go above all those feelings and confusions inside, because it's hard for us to feel that general common shared atmosphere. There's like, it's still kind of chaotic, as if like many things were thrown into the same pot, but we still didn't started to cook it, to mix it. So let's start mixing it. Let's start rising above the forces of separation. That's the work. This time we have to engage more in inner work. Questions, please.
Tzachi from the Rehovot group. When you talk, I got all these thoughts. I want to ask about one thought that everyone can focus on and help me to break this barrier.
One thought that we should be in is the connection between us. Because again, all we learn is really from nature. There are no artificial actions here. Kabbalists are like physicists in our world. From attaining and discovering the upper world, they tell us. And they tell us that the spiritual world is all of us connected together, not through our bodies, but through our inner parts. That because of that, from that inner spark, inner part that we all have, we each feel just a spark, just a tiny spark for spirituality at this point. But because that spark is found inside each and everyone's egoism, this is why we call it a point in the heart. The heart that envelops the point is an egoistic, dark heart. So I don't feel like the point wants to connect with the other one's sparks and with all the others. But if we would see the spiritual degree, if we would look at it now, what we would see is all those sparks connected together. And then they become this one common kli, a higher spiritual degree. And on the higher you rise, the more connected those sparks are. That's what you will call level number 2. And that's greater light that you attain. And on higher levels, they're more connected and they attain a higher light, light of neshama and so on. So there's nothing more than connecting those sparks that we already have. That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah only addresses those people who have a point in the heart, who feel that they want something higher than this world. And the entire, how to put it, the thought, the intention, like you say, what do I need to do? Give me like one thing to think about. This is the thing. That's the thought. How can we connect our desires for spirituality? If we do that even by a bit, and we really want it to happen now, this time, then we come to a revelation of the Creator to the creature. And it's very possible for us. We've been through a lot of preparations. There's millions of people who are with us around the world, and many are watching us now. We did a lot of work here in Israel as well. Nothing lacks but that effort, that desire. And also, if you look at those who exited Egypt, there weren't any better than us. We're talking about an escape, fleeing the ego in darkness while not knowing anything, not understanding anything, with all the women and children and elderly people and young people. It's really like we are. It's the same thing. So there's no person who is unfit for that, who is not suitable. I'm telling you, we can do that. And it all now depends on our effort. Because the action, the only possible action, which is called free choice, the action that is in our hands, is to be inspired from, influenced by the environment. That's it. And there's a huge environment now, a very great environment. Everyone who's here and all those watching us, I just, you know, I received a lot of phone calls and emails and letters from everyone. And we are all together. So if we now will want to become integrated with all the others, because the influence in the environment is the only thing that I am in charge of, that I can evoke. This isn't just the Creator's natural plan. If I awaken that, I do it now. That's all. Let's do it. Please.
Hello. I'm Michal from Zichron Yaakov in Israel. I want to know, what is machsom, the barrier?
Machsom, barrier, is a psychological obstacle. Yeah, that's where it is. All we want is to connect to good. That's all. Who doesn't want it? Whether it's a cat or a mouse or a dog or a little kid or a grown adult. Everyone and anyone, all the still vegetative, animate, and speaking degrees, want to connect to good. But they don't have the possibility. The only true possibility of connecting to good is connecting to the Creator. Because He is called good that does good. And He created us oppositely on purpose, so that we desire it. You know, it's like, say, I prepare a good meal for you, but you don't have an appetite for it. So what can I do? I have to make you hungry for what I prepared, because that is the best thing you can get, and I have to give you the same desire in the dimension and size and flavor to what I prepared. So that's creation. It's the desire for meeting the good, the goodness. So all we need to do is prepare ourselves to receive that goodness. Desire. That's what we need. That's all we need. So this is what I'm saying, that besides this, the little spark you have, you need the desires of all the others. If you would collect at least the desire from at least 10 other people, that's like the minimum extent, that's enough. From a higher mass, it's easier. Once I absorb the desire from them, I discover the light. That's it. The light is there. It's in reality at all times. What I lack is the vessel to feel it. Okay.
Before the next question, I just wanted to say to all the friends, it's possible to ask in every language you want to. Just go to the place with the questions and we will translate everything. So everyone can ask. And Doron, you are responsible for bringing us the impressions from all the people around the world who are watching us on the television and on the internet. Hello, Rav. My name is...
Detroit. I flew here.
I'm in Detroit.
And my question is, there are millions of people here and we all want this connection. And you say there's no time in spirituality, all we have to do is exert ourselves.
השאלה שלי היא, אנחנו כאן מיליוני אנשים וכל מה שאנחנו רוצים זה חיבור ואין זמן ברוחניות, כל מה שאנחנו צריכים זה להתייגע.
So I want to know if there is more or less a more effective way of exerting ourselves, like more thought, maybe more imagination. Specifically, how do you do that?
רציתי לדעת אם יש דרך יותר טובה להתייגע, לתת מאמץ, יותר מחשבה, יותר כוונה.
We are in such a unique state, an initial state, that we simply need big gatherings like this one. And by these gatherings, we're able to influence each other. We are trying to kind of build a constant community that, like that, a virtual community that will work online, on the net, and let's hope that we can really build it in a way that allows us to get inspired from all the others on a daily basis. But still, the way I see how the preparation for such a convention happens, and the convention itself, it is something that simply carves an impression in our soul. It can connect our desire in such an efficient way that I don't see any other replacement for this for now. We're also doing these in our original scope, like we did one like in Detroit perhaps, or in other places, but such conventions are still very effective. They leave a very big impression. So many people coming together is it does what it needs to do. You'll feel it. We didn't even start really, and usually it takes a few hours until people start getting integrated. People start getting warmed up and thinking in the same along the same lines. It's like, you know, it's like waves that start flow to the same direction. So you each need to be more sensitive towards the others, as if you kind of want to swallow, literally swallow everyone inside of you, to become integrated. And that will start working. Throughout the last year, we did a lot of work of preparing and connecting, and I think that there's definitely justification for our hopes.
Hello, Karen from Nes Ziona in Israel. I have two questions which are connected to each other. My first question, if we are in the spiritual world, if we're talking about the purpose of bestowal that will cause me fulfillment, there is still this matter of fulfillment giving me a certain pleasure. So I'm asking this question, whether this style of pleasure can be separated from the egoistic desire for myself?
No, incorrect. We're using our ego, but in a smarter, more sophisticated way.
So the pleasure is still for me, so it's egoistic?
No, that's not true. Look, wait. We are talking about what's called the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is how to receive. But if I receive and swallow only into myself, that's called ego. If I receive and enjoy passing on to the others, that's not egoism anymore, but that allows me to receive limitlessly, continuously. So what I lack is this quality of love towards all the others. So then, from Ensof, I pass that light of Ensof through me, that's me, to all the others, to all that collective soul called Adam HaRishon. I pass it forward to all the others, and all of that flows through me in an eternal, complete way, and there's no problem there. That is not called egoism. Now, did you enjoy? Yes. So you enjoy. Yes, I do. But you enjoy giving it to others. But where are the others? Are they really others? They're not. They're mine. Because I suddenly discovered that they are all part of me. They belong to me because I discovered that love towards them. It's like you suddenly discover that someone is your son. You didn't know. So you begin to love him, and then you see that the other one is also close to you, and that one's close to you, and everyone's close to you. And if you discover that they're close to you, are you giving to them or receiving from them? You're giving to them, but you're enjoying from that. You're enjoying bestowal.
Okay, thank you. And my second question in the same connection, in the topic of love thy neighbor as thyself, it makes me uncomfortable. So how can I solve this problem?
Love thy friend as thyself makes you uncomfortable.
There are states where, for example, someone needs help or requests something from me, and for me, it makes me feel empty. It doesn't fulfill me.
No. You have to understand these things properly. Look, I'll tell you. First, love thy friend as thyself is something that you do only inside the group, inside a group, not in the whole of humanity, because you can't do it and humanity can't understand it yet. You have to understand the process, because otherwise you're just similar to any pretty organizations who try to do good things, but really they're just harming humanity, because they create seemingly good things that actually amplify the evil within. Because the general plan in nature is not like that. It is not that one that allows us to do good that way. To love the others means only when we provide them with the method of correction. Only. Yes.
Bonjour, moi c'est Sam de France. J'ai une question qui est un peu proche de la personne juste avant.
Shalom Rav, Shmi.
Hello Rav, my name is Sam from France.
Est-ce que je peux agir pareil avec le groupe et avec tout le monde extérieur?
If everything comes from the light, so can I behave in the same way with the group as with the external world, if everything comes from the light?
We are incapable of creating the correct connection with the whole of humanity. We're just incapable. This is what happened in Babylon as well. That's what the attempt was. So throughout history, Kabbalists always had very small groups, 10 people or even less or more, depending on what was possible. And there they discovered the spiritual vessel. We are in the last generation, where the correction of the whole world should begin. But even in our case, it has to start always from a small group. Baal HaSalam writes in the articles about the last generation that it has to always start in a small group. And that's what we did. If you knew who we were 15 years ago, how many were we? Few dozens. 20, 30 people. Yeah, started from 15 or 20 people. And then we grew more and more. And when we came to the place where we are today, that's about 10 years ago, then we were 70 or 80 people. Then other groups joined from overseas, from Moscow and from Canada. When I went there and to both places to give lectures, it's something that started slowly, gradually, but even today, in the framework of hundreds of thousands of people, we still each need to feel like he's working with this small group. What's a small group? Meaning that we are talking about those with the point in the heart. That's what we call a small group. Meaning, it doesn't matter. Now there are 6,000 or 7,000 people in front of me. I don't feel like it's many people. Even if it'll be millions, I don't feel that it's many. Because if there's one desire, and if I speak to all of them and they are all in the same direction, then I don't feel like it's many people. It's a group. That's my group. And that's what we need to do. Our work should be to focus more internally on being as one man in one heart, and the more connected we are inside, the more there is unity inside of us, we cause the whole world to feel that there is unity here. Because all the world is scattered. They're disconnected. And they'll begin to feel that we have that point in the heart. They'll feel it. They'll feel that there is a point in the heart here, a certain center of attraction that pulls them into this. Because every person, doesn't matter who, black, yellow, white, or red, or any person in the world, has a point in the heart. It's just more or less hidden. Because there is a heart, there is a point in the heart that could be surfacing or on the top of the heart or in the bottom of it and so on. So this is how gradually people will start feeling it and feel drawn to us. But our main work is on uniting ourselves. If we unite to an extent that we discover the Creator, the actual light that's between us, that will flow through our hearts freely, and that means discovering it. And again, I'm saying that it's our only choice. It's the only action that is in our hands, meaning our action that doesn't come from above. So then the world will all feel that it happens. And they'll come to you, they'll come to us, they won't know why. But they'll simply feel drawn, attracted. This is something I felt more than once, how it works. And this is exactly what Kabbalists write that we should do.
Maybe we'll listen to Doron now, who's with us from all the parts of the world.
Yes, with us, inspired, many are with us, connected, inspired for connection, from Guatemala, from Venezuela, USA, Spain, Tenerife, Italy, Argentina, Peru, Switzerland. It's a long list of places. People are writing from Colombia, for instance. We are doing it together. Let's unite. L'chaim. From Guatemala, they write juntos, meaning together, united. From Canada, L'chaim, everyone, let's do it together. We are united. And with us from Dnipropetrovsk, from Taiwan, from Poland, from Bolivia, from far Australia, the list is long and it's encompassing the whole world.
Thank you, Doron. Yes, next question, please.
Probably the last, right?
The last one?
Not you are the last, but this is the last question for now.
Ah, okay. I'm very, very excited. I requested, I prepared, and I received. Dr. Leitman, thanks to you, all this great thing is here in the world.
Incorrect. It's not true.
Thanks to you. You came to us. You know personally that who you receive from and comes through you. Dr. Leitman, we receive from you and receive all this strength and deficiency in the point in the heart for those who have awakened and those who haven't. Therefore, I want to really bless you in these days. And because we need you more and more to be physically with us in this world. Who is the Creator? That's my question. Who is the Creator?
Hey. Well, he's about to come to the convention, actually. So when he comes... No, there's no problem to answer you. The Creator is that force of love between us. When we discover that, we understand. We see and know. That's why when we ask ourselves how to call our TV channel, what does it do, really? It's in order to connect to the Creator. That's why we called it connecting to good. Because that's what you feel. There's just no other word for it. Good. That is what we need to discover. But it's certainly only between us. It is something that is present between us. That's why it's called Shekhinah, divinity. It's the connection between us, and the Creator is the dweller that dwells inside it. Well, let's hope for that, and it'll happen.
We still have a few more minutes for questions, so let's take another question. Dudi, please. The next question.
Мы сейчас получили СМС от нашего товарища Дениса из Рыбинска. У него сейчас непростое время. Он задает такой вопрос, как нашим товарищам, которые физически не могут присутствовать здесь, включиться в мировое кли. Спасибо.
Sasha from Ekaterinburg received an SMS from a friend who is in Rybinsk and is asking on the behalf of all the friends in the world, how can friends who cannot be here physically incorporate with everything happening here?
I spoke about this a lot of times actually with our friend Denise and other people. There is no problem. Even today, people called me from North America and from Russia, from the Palestinian territory here. Many people can't come here from different reasons, either because they simply can't or because of other more external reasons, meaning like authorities that don't allow them for different reasons. We are together with all those people. We have to think about them, all the friends who are really all over the world. And because spirituality has no time and place, so place cannot separate us. And if we together think about all the others, there's no difference. Because if you take that distance and multiply it by the desire to be with us, then perhaps they have a greater desire than everyone to be here. So let's not forget about all our friends, and they'll try to connect to us as much as possible. So this is all part of the same integration. We've also prepared for this a lot. What are we doing now?
Last question, and then we're going to the next part. Yes, we have a next question. My name is Ira, and I'm in the Norwegian group. And there are many representatives from Norway and from Sweden. We came very warm. And my question is related to our inner work. Within the group, that the point in the heart of awakened, but there's this understanding that we do this work.
Conscious work.
You answered this question before. How can we do within the inner work how do we relate the inner work to those who don't study Kabbalah in the group?
We are in a time when the whole of humanity must now go through step by step to its end of development. In truth, humanity's development has ended. People still think that there is a chance to try all kinds of things, but we already see that it's a decline. Therefore, the dissemination of our material, of the knowledge that Kabbalah has about human development, is very important. Meaning that development of humanity happens by the egoism, and that the egoism has exhausted itself, and that it cannot give us anything more than a crisis. Whether it's in ecology or the family unit or education or any realm of human engagement, because everything was built on an egoistic basis. That's why we won't be able to see anything good in the future from these things. That has to be clear. And it's like we're trying to drag things along and somehow move things forward just because there's no other choice. But in fact, we're drawing greater and greater blows. And of course, we have to explain that to the world. And not just to explain, but to give a remedy before the blow, to precede the remedy to the blow. Meaning we have to explain that all these things are inherent in nature. And we have to go through these phases so as to reach the next phase, the illuminated good phase. Life that doesn't result from deficiency, from always trying to chase a fulfillment and not knowing how to be fulfilled. Rather, a life that is based on wholeness and not on deficiency. That's really the direction in which we should live. That's life from the other side of the barrier. And that should be our dissemination, meaning the dissemination of Kabbalah, along with the whole explanation of what is happening today in humanity, what is this last phase we call the last generation. So that's external dissemination. Our books, our material online, everything we can disseminate from mouth to ear is really the most effective thing, as we know. But this is one thing, and I'm repeating now a second thing, that what I explained to our friends from France. What's most important is if we become the spiritual center of the world in practice, meaning that we have thousands of our friends with spiritual attainment, with spiritual perception, seeing and living in both worlds, below and above the barrier, so that we feel the whole of reality, spirituality and corporeality as this one whole. If we exist that way, in both parts of reality, this is something that will be felt. It will be felt in people. The lady next to you wanted to bless me as if it's all me. I didn't do anything. Trust me, it's not because I'm trying to belittle myself. I don't do a thing here. How can one person do something here? It's just letting the light do its work. And we just have to do actions that are as similar as possible to the light, and everything falls into place. That's all we need, and that's what Kabbalah teaches us. This is why if we try to reach proximity to bestowal, to mutual bestowal, mutual connection, that will spread. It will spread in the world in ways that we don't even know. Because internally, we're all interconnected. The whole of humanity, the whole world, is a global world. Global in the sense that it's absolutely connected to the level of atoms and particles and whatnot. And there's nothing else needed. If we ourselves will unite, the whole world will feel it. How? From within. They won't understand it even. They'll just feel it. Just like you at some point felt it in Norway. How? You just felt it. But again, after a person wakes up, he needs to receive some explanation to his hands. Who, what, and so on. That's why we're developing our tools and the internet and the other forms of media and so on. That's why we have our books and our bookstores. As you know, we have to do that as well, yes. But again, I'm saying it's all inside. Let's do the breakthrough there. Let's create that explosion there. And from there we will reach the world as well.
We thought that it'd be correct in the convention to finish each lesson with a nice quote from the Book of Zohar. And the quote we chose from today, we chose from the portion Mishpatim. It is called to awaken the love, evoking the love from Mishpatim, ordinances.
Yes, yeah, I want to say a few words about the Book of Zohar. Well, you know that it is a book that is so precious and important to us, our most important book. We are now working a lot on this book, working with it, trying to rework it into something that is better for the people, for everyone. That's how we call it, Zohar for All. And we are starting as of next Sunday, not just reading the Zohar as we read so far, but we will add another, in the first part of the lesson, we will go deeper into studying the Zohar in its profound spiritual way. I was waiting for the convention so that afterwards if we can really rise another degree and then really benefit from the Zohar in a deeper way. So from this Sunday, next Sunday, we'll start studying it that way, in this new way. The Zohar is the source of light. It's true that each of us wants to receive the desires, the sparks from the others, from everyone else, those desires for spirituality. If I could simply extract that little spark of everyone and take it to me, that's what I said before, even from 10 people, that would already give me a spiritual kli, a spiritual vessel, a desire. But it's still a desire, a lack. What I need to do is to correct it yet. Because the spark that fell into me came from the shattering of the vessels. That is, it's a broken masach, screen. When I collect those other desires from others, it is still not corrected. It's not in a correct connection. So the light has to come and actually make that connection between all the sparks that I collected from all the others and correct them into a kli, into a vessel. The light that descends on me comes from a higher degree that I want to reach. It's called Omekif, surrounding light. And it comes to us only during the study of Kabbalah, of the authentic sources, and the Zohar is the first and foremost. That's why we want to unite, to discover the common shared force of bestowal and love between us, and the Zohar has to help us do that.
The Book of Zohar, portion Mishpatim, ordinances, item evoking the love, item 99. A loved one, fair to look upon and handsome, hides in her palace. She has a lover of which people do not know, for he is hiding. Out of the love that he loves her, that lover always passes by the gate to her house and raises his eyes to every direction. She knows that her love always circles the gate to her house. She opens a small opening in her palace and shows her face to her love, and promptly covers herself once more. All those who were with the lover did not see and did not look, except for the lover, whose heart and insides and soul follow. He knows that for the love that she loves him, she appears to him for a moment to evoke the love for him. So is a word of Torah, appearing only to those who love her. The Torah knows that the wise of heart circles the gate to her house each day. What does she do? She shows her face from within the palace, hints to him, and promptly returns to her place and hides. All those from there did not know and did not look, but only he alone and his heart and insides and soul follow her. Hence, the Torah appears and covers and goes to her lover with love to evoke the love with him.
We know from our life that love needs its opposite side as well. We call it in life a flirt. You all know a flirt, right? Meaning a bit of concealment. Why are we in concealment? Because that's how concealment and revelation work together. Concealment and revelation build the yearning, the longing. Women understand this better than men. They work on the men that way. It's coming from our root. This is exactly what Oren just read. This is how we work with the Creator. He becomes revealed and concealed. Revealed and concealed. And we need to understand this game and use it, so as to not get angry at the fact that he disappears from us, that he hides. On the contrary, to feel that it's in order for us to yearn for him, to long for him. This is called that he's like a deer, chasing away, running away while looking backwards. He actually makes us develop our desire, so we want him more and more and more until our desire is big enough, and that's where the meeting happens. Otherwise, it doesn't. So now, as we are here, we feel all kinds of things, and you'll still find yourself in different moments that you feel like, oh, it's worthwhile, or it's not, or yes, this is good, or not, and all kinds of emotions like that. We need to detect the game happening here inside of us. We were given that game on purpose. One moment you're inspired, the other moment you're sick of it. The other moment you think there's nothing greater than that, and the next moment you want to run away home. This is the flirt. It's the Creator running away from us and coming back, running away, coming back, in order for us, in the moments where he's not there, we have to show a desire, the opposite. And the more it happens, this is called occurrences, the more we find all these needs, we will then create this one big need that will certainly put us in that meeting, in that connection.
There's another thing that it's important for us to talk about in our first lesson, which will project the right atmosphere for all the days of the convention. This convention is a convention that has thousands of people that who have come here, close people, a lot of people who are veterans and who have been to a lot of conventions, and a lot of people who have just met the wisdom of Kabbalah really right now and just coming to see what it talks about. It's very important for us, just like the slogan of our convention, Connecting for Good, it's important that everyone will feel good and comfortable, and that everyone will have fun all the time, that no one will ever have any pressure or anything like that. Therefore, we thought, we request from everyone, sitting, to pay attention to everyone sitting next to them. Sometimes we sing, maybe me and Yaniv, we study every morning, we sit shoulder by shoulder next to each other for many years, and so it comes to me to hug Yaniv. But now, if I see someone who's just met the wisdom, and so we have to make sure we don't make them feel uncomfortable, don't cause them anything to make them feel uncomfortable. The other thing is, there will be states where music here will raise you up. There will be those who want to dance. That's great, that's wonderful, but please do it here, close to the stage, in order to leave room for those who want to sit and be comfortable in their place. So those who want to dance, dance in this direction, towards the stage, and whoever wants to sit, can sit.
Yes, and not to drag someone forcefully. Yeah.
And everyone dances with who they're dancing with, but you don't force someone into dance with you. I come out here, I come to dance, I don't... Everyone can do whatever they want to do. It's very important so that everyone can succeed in connecting for good. That's the other thing I wanted to say. And the other thing is, at the end of lessons, in order to save you some time in recesses, we'll also show you some new things, new products of dissemination. So 2 minutes at the end of each lesson, we'll show you a few of these products. One of the things I want to show you is this small and explosive product called Man is a Small World. Man is a Small World, it's a book that the education department, many people working in education have worked on it for many years and have put into here the most meaningful, important things for people who are parents and people engaging in the education of children. Things that have been said on television by Rav Leitman and edited them and put them into this little book. Every interview here, every idea in this book takes a page, and everything that you need to know in order to raise children well. Man is a small world.
Let's applaud in the end once, but it'll shorten the process. Light at the end of the title is a different book, and as you see, it's more kind of a heavy filled up book. It's a book that concentrates all that we studied lately about the global crisis that started and sounded like it stopped, but it's actually just a process that is happening, and it's a part of the process. It's actually all that Kabbalah has to say about our present state in humanity and the global crisis. It's a wonderful book for self-study in terms of understanding the global crisis and what Kabbalah can give us to take us out of it. The next book, we will also bring diverse books. This is actually a novel that we call The Kabbalist. It came out in Russian, and then we translated it. I'm sure we'll translate it soon to more languages. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Anyone who started, you'll finish it quickly. I don't see how many, couldn't see how many pages are here, but it's a novel that was written by Semyon Vyankul that tells the story, the life story of Baala Sulam, which is actually our life story. It's an interesting mixture between imagination and reality, and a very beautiful, beautifully written by Semyon Vyankul. The Point in the Heart is a book we already know from the past convention, which really makes for a great visit card for the Wisdom of Kabbalah that you can give to anyone. It's really a book that is intended to be a gift, like a gift for me or for people I like, and I want to introduce the Wisdom of Kabbalah to them. It's a Point in the Heart. It's built in a similar format to the previous books, to the other Man is a Small World. And this time we produced it in English and in Russian and in Spanish and in Hebrew. And now I would like to invite Ran Kutz, the host of the convention, to tell us about all kinds of important things that are important for us to succeed in this convention.